Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is Dudley Baylor. Dudley Baylor. Live your capital, Dudley Baylor.
Good to be here.
I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you.
This is awesome. Filling in last second.
Celebrity now that you have your emoji.
There's somebody on Facebook who wrote, in 2 week period, I got my own emoji and my own theme song.
You got a theme song too?
Yeah, I got a great, it's on our new Saturday Live show.
Okay.
We've got our own theme song. It was done by Songfinch.
Oh, yeah.
A company you should, if you haven't looked in, we're going to get into what you do and everything while you're sitting here, but, that's a company you should be looking at. I was blown away.
I've heard good things on the customer side. Everybody has a very similar response. Very, very excited about the product.
Totally blew my mind. So for those listening, Dudley's an investor. You're many things, but you're also an investor in startup company. You're
a renaissance man.
You are a renaissance man. You have a little bit of a, you've got a minor league baseball team. You got some drone stuff. You got all kinds of things. The baseball team's called Drones, so it's drone stuff.
Yes, so Levere Capital Management for today's conversation focuses on investment in early stage companies, priding ourselves in providing a kind of a tailored financial product. Most companies around town finance themselves primarily through a convertible note, sometimes a safe. We come in and try to provide different types of financing that aren't really available to these companies at early stages. That could look many ways. It could be lines of credit. It could be receivables finance. A very popular one that I have a lot of conversations with is around subscription-based businesses, so SaaS models or anything as a service, where you can pull forward future revenue streams and raise that as capital today.
Interesting. So, I mean, I'm getting to learn firsthand as we're working with you potentially on a deal.
Yes, indeed.
I want to get
Exciting
into
for both of us.
Yeah, I am too. Well, it depends on how the show goes, I guess, right? this could be a huge embarrassing failure, and then it'd be the end of that. But I want to talk about some of the investments that you're involved in now, what you're looking for, how you get into something like this, why you think that the Chicago community is worth investing in, et cetera, et cetera. But one of the things I kind of wanted to chat about with you is, you know, before we get into all the investing side, is like personally, how did you go from trader to this? What? Because I'm hearing a lot of people coming in now that are from the trader community, whether it's on the investor side or it's on the actual like Nick Kokonis gets into restaurants. It's a guy who that's not where he came from. How did you get from you're from Indiana, correct?
Correct.
How did you get from small town Indiana to, I assumed it was a small town, big Chicago?
Every town in Indiana small, right?
I mean, Indianapolis isn't terribly small, but yeah, small town Indiana to University of Indiana to trading to here. How did you get here?
Yeah. So trading, background in commodities trading, cut my teeth trading natural gas, crude oil and the associated products, gasoline and the distillate. But really have traded everything, currencies, equity indices,
cards.
U.S. interest rates, foreign interest rates, but yes, baseball cards as well.
Baseball cards, before pogs.
Initially my reaction to companies in this space, I was like, keep it away from me. I didn't understand the valuations. It didn't make sense to me. And that was probably called 7 years ago, 5 to 7 years ago. But I kind of stayed in touch. And over time, what I started to observe is there was a lot of talent that started going this way. This was after the crash. You saw a lot of the young talent going to early stage startup type companies. It's where the ideas are. It's where the smart people are. And it was, okay, well, you know, how do I get involved? And for me, getting involved is writing a check. It's investing, because if it's passive, I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm not going to learn. Yeah. And by writing a check, investing in companies, it was the easiest way for me to get involved and begin learning. First company was got lucky, was PacBack.
Yeah.
And then they ended up
That's
on Shark
one.
Tank.
And on this show.
And I should probably lead with that.
They were on the TechNori stage first, then they were on Shark Tank, then they were on TechNori show. So yeah. In a couple of days, you better lead with that or we're going to have problems. Because one of the things that you do as an investor that's uniquely different is that you do want to get actually involved in the group you're with, sort of as a Swiss Army knife of different things that they can lend themselves from. And so it's not like you're just throwing a check and it's like, well, see you later. Well, maybe sometimes the startups say see you later. But like, you know, you actually want to get in and sort of hands on deck when possible.
Yeah, to the extent that I can. Yeah. And I think the one of the, or what I perceive is the value is there seems to be some commonalities within these companies where they run into challenges, and in particular the founder does. And I see it across companies. So I can try to address that and discuss that with them. And then to the extent that there's a domain expertise in it, try to bring that person in, expand capacity through partnerships and other relationships within the network.
I love how you phrase that, how I perceive it. So these are the assets that I bring, or at least how I perceive the assets. You might not
someone,
see
it. Someone may say something different.
Some people may not perceive them to be assets at all, in fact. And just asses, yeah. No assets.
Yeah, that's a good way
that's
to put
usually
it.
How that goes. Well, I mean, that's at the end of the day, in a bad investment, you just end up with asses, right? There's no assets left. They just ground those T's to an S. But not dollar sign S, just S. S forever. You know, you mentioned sort of the fact that a lot of these companies might have common failure points, mm-hmm. common areas that are weaknesses or weak links, whatever you want to call it. Do you see that across, do you think it's across the whole board of startup companies? Obviously, this is generalizing, but like across the everywhere, just is anywhere? Or do you see this as something like in the particular area? Is there like a particular area that you are focused in and therefore it lends itself to a younger founder or a less experienced founder or a team that maybe is smaller or is in a particular niche that is susceptible to certain failures, and that's why you see a common thing? Or do you think that all of the startup companies, this obviously it's not a yes or no, it's not binary, mm-hmm. but do you think that there's that across the startup scope, and we'll speak just to Chicago for this point, that there's a lot of maturing that needs to be done and you're seeing common problems that every company has? Or is it sort of you're just in, you know, that was a very poorly worded question, and you're just can I answer my own question here? No, but do you get what I'm saying though? Like, is it, do you think that you're focused on an area that the demographic of the startups you're investing in mm-hmm. are very similar? They are this age people. They are in this particular area of industry. Yeah. Or do you think it's across all of it that there's just a lot of...
I think it's pretty general. I do think when you get into, you know, niche industries, there are uniquenesses to them for sure. But generally speaking, I think it's, you know, because I'm fairly agnostic.
Yeah.
If you look at the portfolio,
we're going
to
get into that.
Everything from media to dry cleaning.
Startup?
Drive.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, cool. But when you look at it from the human behavioral perspective, right, it's like the biggest thing for the founder is how do I grow? How do I make that next step? How do I take that next step? How do I expand capacity? How do I do it? And there are some folks that kind of beat their head against the wall, it looks like,
yeah.
or what I observe.
Yeah.
And others do it well. And that's where I try to relay the observations when I've seen, you know, folks that have done it well and others that don't. And as you mentioned earlier, and then that just kind of works itself
well, that's,
out.
I mean,
so, as yeah. you mentioned earlier, and then that just kind of works itself
well, that's,
out.
I mean, so there's two sides to this, and I don't want to go too, I mean, I really do want to go too far into the weeds on the second part of this, but I'm going to kick it down. I'm going to kick that can down the road a little bit. But, you know, I was just talking to my guys today about, you know, how to scale. So on the production side of things, I think that there's opportunity for us to do more production work for other people. We have figured out a model that for whatever reason, people seem to enjoy listening to. I had a guy at Technori come up to me and tell me that he listens to my podcast while he's at the gym, and I was confused, and I didn't know if he was like hitting on me or whatever. I was like, that's fine. It's just cool. I just am confused.
He's listening, most importantly.
I'm like, most importantly, you're listening. It's just confusing me that was the thing. And then he told me that, and I was like, wow. You know, obviously, he's going to be listening to this one. I was like, I didn't realize. I guess you lose sight of like what you're doing sometimes when you're focused on building content and things. You look at it as just content. You don't realize that you're actually solving problems for people. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling them, one of the problems that bogs down a lot of the startups that I see is that they get so focused on this right in front of their face because they've got to pay their bills for tomorrow and they've got to focus on these like right in front of things that they never, ever, ever have the time to like push past the trees, sort of like the field of dreams, and actually look out there and see what the opportunities are. And they mm-hmm. don't really ever see how people consume their product or their services. And so then they never really can build anything.
They lose
big.
Touch with it, man.
Yeah, they completely lose touch, and yeah. it turns into a, you know, you want it to be a job, but you don't.
Yeah.
It turns into a job. And yeah. I think the companies end up, you're just like, just trying to get breath, and
yeah,
then they run out.
It's a lifestyle business. That's what I'd say that is. It's something that suits the entrepreneur, and those businesses are fine. But guess what? Those are very small businesses, and they don't grow.
Yeah.
And that can serve the entrepreneur very well. The opposite side of that that I also see is, you know, as the early stage, you know, entrepreneur, you invariably have like five or six like major issues. And if you can kind of get that down to a couple and take action on at the end of, you know, say the first year or first couple of years, those are also the ones that have success. It's the ones that, you know, a year, 18 months down the road, you're still kind of juggling these five or six things. It's like, well, what are you?
Yeah.
What direction is this going? So the opposite of what you
mean. Yeah, you're right. And I think like, and even from our own standpoint, like I think, I had a meeting with the guy. I'm not going to say who it was, but I had a meeting with the guy the other like 2 weeks ago, and he was kind of like, you know, what are you? And obviously, I'm talking to a potential investor in front of me, so I should probably know this answer. And I do know the answer, but I can't tell him the answer because the answer is like, there's what we're trying to build, and it's going to take a lot of different things to get to where we're trying to go. And for all intents and purposes, as far as you're concerned right now, I am a proponent of Chicago startups. That's what I am. I'm a platform for people to learn and get involved with Chicago startups. And you don't have to worry about the rest of it. And I think a lot of the founders that we talk to on this show, they have a real hard time with that because they want to tell you, I'm this and I'm this and I'm that and I'm going to this and I'm this and this and this.
Don't do that.
And
don't do that.
And here's
also where this causes problems. So my first thought on that is go read Seth Godin.
Yep.
Because he's phenomenal on that for every entrepreneur. And I think the specific story is marketers tell lies or stories or something like that. But the other thing the entrepreneurs hiccup I notice is when they do try to do this, that, and the other, they don't understand the various business segments and what, you know, if it's B2B or B2C or you know, what exactly they are. And by crossing over a few of those are different capital sources,
yeah,
different skill sets to execute,
yep,
different challenges within scale.
Yep.
And so they're just the spreading of it doesn't allow them to go to XYZ investor. So their capital strategy is very poor.
Yep.
Their cap stack is very weak. It's a headway for growth.
Well, and that kind of goes back to my original point when we started this conversation about not being able to see past the foot in front of your face. So like, again, I would argue, in my opinion, like I know where I'm trying to go with this. I know my end plan. Like I have a pretty good idea of it. And I go to the top and I look back and go, how do I get there? And there's a couple of things that the people at the top want in that end game, whether it's not just for me, but whether it's an exit or whatever it is, you have to know who is that exit. Like you can't do, well, I want to exit. Well, that's great. We all do. I'd love to exit this car right now. I'd like to leave this show right now.
Exit in 2 years at $500 billion, right?
Of course, naturally. And there's 8,000 downloads a day. But the end game is not that you can't predict it. So like I need to know these are the companies I want to offshoot to, and here's why. Like why do they want to do it? And then I have to reverse engineer that why. And I have to try to build my company into what I think that why will be, or what my best guess of what 5 years from now what that why will be.
Yeah.
And the companies and the founders that I see will go, they start backwards. They want an exit, and it's broad and no one knows what that means. And they just start building things so they can be like, well, our revenue is this, and I don't know what it costs to build it, and I don't know how sustainable it is, but it's this. And they just start going like this, and it just,
yeah,
you know, goes away. Just,
it's thoughtful action, right? Because if you start from the end point and work,
but I think it's hard for people to get there. I think it's hard for people to see past the trees and like have a real vision. I think a lot of the entrepreneurs we talk to here, and some of them will be very successful, some of them won't. But I think a lot of the successful ones, the one thing that I've noticed with all of them, I can think of Mark from Spot Hero, Eddie from Shift Gig. Adam Hughes is not the founder, but Al Goldstein, obviously, from Avant.
That was a great keynote on the Technori Showcase on Tuesday, by the way.
Yeah, it was. But those three guys, the one thing in common is when they sat down, in Al's example of being in a windowless office, when they sat down, he knew exactly what he was building.
But it's got a challenge on that because you keep bringing it back to the entrepreneur. It's probably just more of a human thing, right? Look, I wanted to play in the NBA, but was I taking 500 jumpers a day? Right? No, I wasn't.
I still am.
Well, maybe you need to work on your foot speed. Maybe it's not your jump spot.
My lateral agility is poor.
You know, I'll go back to your vision question. If we went around the room right now with your colleagues, if they were each asked what the vision is, would it be the answer that Would everybody have a shared answer? Or would they be different answers?
If I had to bet my money on it, they can't answer this question to you because they have signed documents. No, I'm just kidding. But if you were to ask them, I bet all three of the guys sitting in the room right now know exactly what the end game plan is.
Okay, good.
I think nod. Do you guys know?
Well,
all right. Yeah. But I mean, that's a huge thing. So, I mean, I bring it down, I bake it down to one guy, you know, like the entrepreneur. Reality, I mean the team.
Yeah.
But like, I just think that sometimes these guys get.
But the team needs to know.
Yeah. It's like things are moving 1,000 miles an hour. And if you're not working at the same, for the same thing, it just falls apart. But so I could go on for days with you on this, but I guess I want to kind of get over to the last part here. And that is, now that you have considered this, you see this, what we talked about all day. What do you look for when you decide, you know what, that's something I want to get involved in? Like, what is it that, what's that thing, that aha, we would ask a startup, what was the aha moment? What is that aha moment for you when you're sitting there and somebody's telling this throw up of a story on you and you're like, ah, there's the chunk that makes me want to buy?
I don't know if there's an aha. And if it's a throw up of a story, that's unlikely to warrant investment, at least initially. It's the leader. It's the interaction with the team. It can be many things. There's a company I'm involved with where the entrepreneur can use some help on the team side to fill, you know, where there's some weakness, but just keeps finding and bumping into opportunities and taking advantage of them. Sometimes I'll filter it. I'll put out a introduction or a test, and the entrepreneur won't necessarily know, but I'll know.
Wait, did you do that to me?
Perhaps. Ah. So, Phil, I'm a huge fan of filters.
Was that why I had lunch with Alan Matthews' brother, Doug? we went to Billy Goat's. I had lunch with him. Was that a filter?
Billy Goat's a phenomenal place.
I love Billy Goat's.
But I think it, for me, it's more the team, and then it's not necessarily is there a threshold within the business, you know, is there scale here?
Yeah.
In some businesses there are more than others. That I think we can get to, but if it's not comfortable, if it's not right with the founder, it's never going to be right. So quick no.
So we're going to go out on this note. You've got a bunch of companies that you've invested in already. They've got your money. They're holding on to it, or what's left of it. And you have essentially one sentence to say to all of them and all the future people that you'd like to invest in. You got one thing to tell them, like from your experience, whatever it is, whether it's a warning or it's advice, whatever it is. What's the one thing you would tell all the people who have taken money from you?
I would use different terms.
I'm just kidding. No, but all the people you've gotten involved with,
yeah,
and all the ones out there potentially that you want to get involved with. Yeah. What's that one word? One thing.
Good question. I don't know if there is one thing. I just say, let's get after it. I didn't come here for a haircut.
That's awesome. Boys, that's the tweet that goes out with this thing. I didn't come out here for a haircut.
Didn't come here for a haircut.
You got a nice haircut going on.
I have phenomenal hair, by the way.
You have amazing. The waves are just, and that's natural.
I thank my mom for that.
I understand that this is a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have hair straight like a string, so that's no good. But cool. This is awesome, Dudley. You're welcome to come back here anytime and wrap. We have a ton of stuff to talk about, honestly, because there's so many different directions that this one podcast went that I would have loved to have taken on its own.
Yeah.
So we'll have to have it come back.
All right. Thank
you. Where do people go to
LevereCapital.com. You can tweet me at Yield Oppression.
I love that, by the way. Yeah, his Twitter handle is at Yield Oppression. That is the coolest Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. Other than at Katoon and at Technori, that's the coolest Twitter.
Third coolest.
That's the
third
coolest.
Most awesomest.
Absolutely. This is great. Dudley, thank you so much.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You can watch this episode of more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.